We live, we love, we serve. We serve. On Friday, I had the pleasure of being part of a Good Friday worship experience for one of the sons of this church, Reverend Dr. John L. Green at the Bethesda Baptist Church in Jersey City, New Jersey. And we had an amazing time. And some of the leaders who were there said to me, "Pastor, you need to preach that sermon on Easter Sunday." I do take requests. I do take requests. And so I decided to be obedient today. And hopefully this word will speak to those who are here who need it. I told them on last week that I'm not one of those preachers who feel that everybody got to get every word you preach. So if some people say, "Pastor, I didn't get that word," here's my response: it wasn't for you. But hopefully this word will speak to some here today. Luke 23, the Gospel of Luke. And this scripture is typically a scripture that is used as we think about the crucifixion. But I think today, although it's Resurrection Sunday, it will speak life and give life. Luke 23, verse 46. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. I'm just going to read a small portion of that one verse. "Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.'" I'll say it again. "Father, into your hands." Somebody say, "Your hands." "I commend my spirit." Come on, let's pray. God, we honor you on today and we bless your name. For God, on this day, we are reminded of possibilities. Sometimes, oh God, when we have had many doors shut in our faces, when we've had more difficult days, it seems like, than good days, it's hard to hold on to hope. It's hard to lean into possibility. But God, at the same time, we are mindful of all the times you made a way, all the times you've delivered us, all the times you sustained and kept us. And God, for that, we are truly grateful. Now, oh God, let your word go to work, that it may speak to us, it may heal us, that it may deliver us, oh God, as we seek to be faithful to you. We love you, Lord. We honor you, God. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Remain standing with me. Luke 23, verse 46. "Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.'" Do me a favor today, turn to your neighbor and just tell them, "Neighbor, I am a high flyer." Come on, turn to the other neighbor and tell them, "Neighbor, I am a high flyer." Amen. Now put your hands together and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I am a high flyer. Hopefully that'll make sense in a moment. I am a high flyer. When I recall my childhood, there were many moments that have been etched in my memory. Moments that have lifted me and shaped me and transformed me in ways that I could not imagine. One of those moments came in the fall of 1979. I was 8 years old. And it was the day that we would go on our third grade field trip. It was an exciting time because it would be the very first time that I would go to the circus. I was excited about that because I had seen commercials on TV about Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus. But there's something different when you actually get to see it for yourself. My excitement was palpable. I was excited. And on that field trip, I'll never forget my late grandfather, who has meant so much to me, would always, when I had field trips, get me more snacks than anybody else in my class. And on this day, even my grandfather's snacks could not trump my excitement about going to the circus. I remember when we took that trip from the school in Roosevelt, New York, to Nassau Coliseum, the entire ride, the excitement was bubbling in me because it would be the first time I get to see the circus. I remember when we were getting off the bus, and many of you remember those days when we were younger, where you would have to get off the bus single file and had to be quiet as you made your way. But I got to tell you, holding my peace was difficult that day because I was going to the circus for the first time. I remember when we entered into Nassau Coliseum and entered the arena, and I got to see that three-ring circus. If you ever saw Barnum and Bailey Circus back in the days, it was a spectacle to see. The smells of the circus were present. You could see all the movement taking place, the ropes across the arena. It was an amazing thing, and I sat there with bated breath, waiting to see the experience for myself. And I got to tell you, that first time, it did not disappoint. It was everything I thought it would be and more. Because there's something to be said when you have experiences that surpass your expectations. Have you ever had that in your life where you had an expectation of something that you were going to experience, and then when you had the experience surpassed your imagination? It did for me. Every part of the circus experience that day, I soaked it up. I remember, like some of you who went to the circus, I started thinking about how I could be a part of the circus because it was so amazing to me. And there were so many parts of the circus experience, Reverend Alicia, that stuck out in my mind that day and since then, and things I learned to love about the circus. The first thing I learned to love about the circus on that day were the clowns. How could you get past the clowns? The clowns were the circus jesters, so to speak. They were there to add levity and comedy and humor to the experience, also serve as a form of distraction. It was an amazing thing to see the clowns do their thing. When I was a child, seeing those clowns on that day blew my mind. I started thinking of what they must have done in preparation to perform to make people laugh. When I was a child. When I got a little older and started reflecting on the circus and clowns, I discovered that sometimes in our lives can feel like a circus. And primarily why sometimes our life feels like a circus is probably because in our life we got too many clowns around. And here's what I discovered in my life. When my life feels like a circus and it seems like I got more clowns in my life than I need. Something you ought to remember, clowns are going to be clowns. But you're going to ask yourself why you keep going to the circus if clowns are going to be clowns. That day, not only were the clowns enthralling to me, but the tightrope walkers. You remember them? I remember sitting there and seeing these people walk across this thin rope, and I was terrified because all I thought about is what would happen if they fell. Now, at that age, I didn't always see the safety net. I just thought about what would happen if they were to fall from that lofty height. When I was a child, I was fearful. But when I became an adult and I thought about tightrope walkers, what I realized is that tightrope walkers actually give us a formula to be successful in life, Ebony. Because here's what I discovered. If you just live life with balance and you put one foot in front of the other, ultimately you will reach your destination. That's what the tightrope walkers taught me. Then there were this group of people. I mean, I thought the lion tamers were amazing, but they didn't get me because when I got old, I realized that the lions they were taming were domesticated and not wild. And so it gave the appearance that somehow they had the capacity to tame lions. But these were lions they knew from the time they were cubs. They couldn't tame a wild lion. But the contortionists captured my imagination. I was looking at people bend their bodies in ways that I thought was impossible, and they didn't break. I watched them bend and form themselves, contort themselves to fit into these small, tight spaces. And I was mesmerized. How could they do that? I remember watching them contort themselves. And like some of us, I'm in the stands trying to bend and trying to stretch and do all that stuff that was there. And when I was a child, I thought it was the most powerful thing to do, to be a contortionist. But when I became an adult, I realized something. Sometimes some of us emotionally and psychologically contort ourselves too much. We find ourselves bending and trying to fit into spaces that we were not meant to fit into. And the worst thing is when you try to fit into a space that's not only cramped, but the truth is when you're bigger than that tight space. And sometimes some of us in here, if we testify, can be honest and say that there were moments when we tried to fit into places and we didn't realize at the time that when we tried to fit into those places that we were actually bigger than the places because we thought we needed the places to be who we were called to be. And so being an emotional contortionist is not always good when you're trying to fit in with spaces and with people who you may have outgrown a long time ago. I love the clowns. I love the tightrope walkers. And I love the contortionists. But then there was a group that I fell in love with. Those who were on the flying trapeze. I sat there spellbound, watching people fly through the air, doing all sorts of acrobatic moves, and watching them fly. It was hard not to, in my mind at 8 years old, wonder if flying was a possibility for me. Looking at people do these death-defying stunts mid-air was remarkable, and I remember being transfixed by looking at the high flyers. Which interesting is that when you look at the trapeze, those who do those acts in the air, they're called flyers. And the flyer's responsibility is to fly, to soar in the air. I started thinking as I got older, what does it take to be a flyer? A high flyer. Well, for those of us who may be interested, there are three things I think it takes to be a high flyer. One is fearlessness. If you're going to be a high flyer in life, you got to be fearless. You got to be willing to go to places that other people are unwilling to go. You can't be a high flyer and afraid of heights. You got to be willing to soar to the highest of your capacity and your ability and be fearless, because here's what I learned about high flyers. If for them, performing the stunts is greater than thinking about what could go wrong. You can't be a high flyer in life and worried about what could go wrong, because the minute you begin to think about what could go wrong, trust me, what could go wrong will happen. So you got to be fearless. You got to make up in your mind that I'm going to soar in this season, fly in this season, no matter what may come my way. Because if I'm going to be a high flyer like those in a flying trapeze, I got to be fearless. And I know sometimes it's hard to be fearless, especially when you had reasons to be fearful. But a high flyer, fearless. The other thing I learned about high flyers is that high flyers got to have an imagination. Can you imagine that? It's not enough just to swing in the air and let go, but you got to perform things that seem almost virtually impossible. It takes an imagination to be a high flyer, for that when you release that bar and you begin to soar, the real power of the high flyers is how creative you can be while you're flying. It's not just enough to soar in the air. It's the creativity needed to make sure you capture people's imagination. If you just flew from one point to the next, that would not be impressive. But it's what you do in between your departure and your landing. You'll get this in a second. And sometimes in life, you can't be afraid to be imaginative with your life. Some of us sometimes never reach the heights of a high flyer because our imaginations are stunted. We only think we could do what we see other people do and never think of what we can do given the possibilities that may abound for us. If other people's actions are your mountaintop, then your mountain ain't too high. That you gotta get to a point in your life where you can use a creative imagination for yourself. And here's the thing about a high flyer. It's not just about copying other stunts. It's creating other stunts that other people haven't thought about doing. That's what makes you stand out. Anybody can do what everybody else is doing. In fact, in our culture right now, we reward people with a limited imagination. As long as people do the same thing that other people are doing, trying to copy the same moves, post the same pictures, go to the same places, have the same experiences. And that's why in our culture right now, it's not that we don't have smart people, but we do have people who lack an imagination. But if you're going to soar to heights you could never imagine, if you're going to fly in ways you could never comprehend, you got to be willing to use your imagination to do what you've never done, to go where you've never gone, to be what you've never been. If you're going to be a high flyer. The other thing I learned about a high flyer is that not only are they fearless and they are imaginative, can I tell you this part? They are resilient. A high flyer is resilient. You know why? Because I remember sitting there watching the flyers do all their amazing feats in the air. And the one thing we forget is that every flyer has fallen. Oh, no, you're going to get this in a second. Every flyer has fallen. You can't be a high flyer and never have failed before. Every high flyer you talk to in the circus will tell you, yes, they not only fallen tons of times, they made tons of mistakes, but they've learned lesson from every fall because they knew you can't soar if you're afraid to fall. Somebody gonna get this in a second. You want to do things you've never done and be who you've never been and go where you've never gone, but you're afraid of failing? You're afraid to fall short? That's the only way you learn in this journey, that you have to fail. I tell folk at our team, if you're going to fail, fail quickly and fail often. Because when you fail quickly and fail often, it suggests that you're trying to do something that is pushing you. You can't soar if you're afraid of pushing yourself. It makes me think in some ways when I think of high flyers, I can't help in this season to think about Jesus as being an exemplar of what it means to be a high flyer. Think about the characteristics of a high flyer. Fearless. Jesus had to be fearless. You have to be at a point in your journey, and he had to be at a point in his journey, where he could not think about what would go wrong. When you're under divine directive to do the work that God has called you to do, you can't think about what could go wrong. You can't let fear trump your faith. I hope I'm talking to somebody in here today. You can't let fear of what might go wrong stop you from taking the leap sometimes to be who God has called you to be. You got to be fearless. In fact, just tell somebody, you got to be fearless. You got to be fearless on this journey. You got to be fearless with your life. You got to be willing to take chances and take risks in order to achieve the things you feel that God has called you to achieve. Am I speaking to anybody in here today? That you can't get to a point in your life where you constrain yourself because you're worried about what could go wrong. You got to be fearless. Jesus was fearless. When you're under directive from God to do the things connected to your gift and your ability and your capacity, you got to be fearless. Here's what I learned. God would not give you certain assignments if God did not equip you for certain assignments. So that if you know you've been equipped for certain assignments, why be afraid of what could go wrong? No, you don't think about what could go wrong, but you think of everybody and everything that could go right. Jesus was fearless. Somebody say fearless. Yeah. He becomes the exemplar of what it means to move forward in the face of fear and still be faithful. I got to tell you, anybody in here who's achieved great things can tell you, achieving great things does not come in the absence of fear. It comes in the midst of fear. It is saying that fear will not be final. Fear will not have the last word. Fear will not win the day. It will rise. It just won't prosper. Oh, my God. God, you caught that. Fear will come. And can I add this to you? That when fear shows up, it might be an indication you're actually on the right road. I get nervous if God calls you to do great things and you're too courageous. That means you're making false assumptions about your own capacity. But I've learned in this journey, the reason why I can be fearless is because I know I do not attempt these tasks by myself. God is with me. And God is keeping me. Jesus was truly a high flyer. He had an imagination. You don't think so? Can I help you understand his imagination? It takes great imagination to go to a tomb where the stone has covered the hole, where someone has been dead 3 days, stand in front of the tomb and believe that at your word, those dead things can come back alive. That's an imagination. It takes imagination to take some spittle from your mouth, mix it with some mud on the ground, put it on a blind man's eyes, and think that somehow the blind person can see again. That's imagination. It takes imagination to go to someone who ain't walked in 38 years, but believe somehow when you speak that word, they'll get up and walk. That takes an imagination. Tell somebody you gotta have an imagination. Jesus was fearless. He had an imagination. And then watch this. He was resilient too. Oh, yes. When you are being challenged at every hand, you got to be resilient. When people are seeking to undermine you at every turn, you got to be resilient. You got to make up in your mind that the assignment on my life is greater than the opposition in my face. Oh, God. Let me say that again. The assignment on my life is greater than the opposition in my face, which means I can be resilient in the face of opposition. But let's go deeper. Remember, I told you, the experiences I've had already where I've encountered opposition, even when the opposition thought they would prevail, I've seen myself prevail in the midst of opposition, especially by enemies who actually thought their efforts would stop me from being who God called me to be. Do you know there's some folk in your life who actually think that just because they don't like you, they can stop you? There's some folk in your life who actually believe that because they get in your way, they have the way. No, you gotta let some folk know. No, God opened this door for me, and God made this way for me. And no matter what you try to do, you can't stop what God has started. Can I get churchy for a second? You gotta tell some folk, no weapon formed against me. Tell somebody it won't work. No matter how hard you try, it won't work. Not just because I'm so strong, but because greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. Look at somebody, tell them, be resilient. Be resilient. Yes, Jesus was fearless. Jesus was imaginative. And Jesus was resilient. But can I tell you something? Mary, you can have all of those qualities, fearlessness, imagination, resilient, but it means nothing unless you leave the platform. You ain't got it yet. A flyer can't be a flyer in theory. You can't talk about flying. At some point, you gotta. There are folk I met in my life. They can talk about doing great things, but they're afraid to take the next step. You know people who can tell you about their dream but never activate them? Tell you about their wishes but never walk in them? Tell you about their desires but never believe in them? No, at some point, you gotta take the risk of leaving the safety of the platform and do what? But can I tell you this? I'm gonna be done in a second. It'll make sense. When I was at the circus and seeing the flyer standing on the platform, you know, they holding the bar. And the bar is just to get them going, because at some point they learn to let go of the bar. But here it is. When I was at the circus, some of you may know, when I was at the circus, they don't get started until they have another person. Because a flyer can't fly, Alicia, unless there's a catcher on the other end. You'll get this in a second. You'll get this in a second. You can't really fly. Because remember I told you that a flyer has three characteristics. They are fearless, they are imaginative, and they are resilient. But there's one I forgot to tell you. A flyer, in order to be a flyer, has to have trust in the catcher. You ain't got it yet. Because in here, and not just trust in the catcher, but can I tell you this? They gotta have trust in the catcher's hands. You'll get this in a second. That the catcher has to have strong hands in order to sustain the flyer. But here it is. The catcher and the flyer are always in sync, because the catcher got to make sure that the synchronization is important so that when the flyer flies, the catcher can catch. You still ain't got it yet. So as I'm sitting there watching the circus, I heard something I'd never heard before, Ricky, with my 8-year-old ears. I heard the catcher yell, "Hup!" Now, here's what you got to understand. If you have been in a circus, you hear the catcher is swinging, and when he says, "Hup," that means it's the signal for the flyer to let go of safety and start flying. You see, here's what I learned in my life. There are points in my life where I've heard God in my spirit say to me, "Hup, it's time to let go of your safety, and it's time to fly." Look at somebody and tell them, "Hup, it's time to let go. Hup, it's time to fly. Hup." Here's the good thing. Y'all ain't even heard the good part yet. When I heard that word "hup," I thought about the circus the other day. And I said, there gotta be some meaning to this, because nothing is random about what happens at a circus. I had to look at the history of where "hup" came from. And I realized that "hup" was a derivative of a Greek word called "hupos." "Hupos" means covered. You ain't got that yet. So, when the catcher tells the flyer, "Hup," it means you're covered. Let go. It don't mean nothing if the catcher can't catch him. If the flyer does all kinds of feats, but there's no catcher to catch, it's a miserable fail. So the only way you know you can soar is if you know you'll be caught. Jesus said, "Father, I've done everything you called me to do. Father, I've answered every call you put on my life." And now, in Luke 23 and 46, he says, "Father, into your hand I commit my spirit." In other words, I know that at the end of this journey, you'll catch me. Is there anybody in here today who can say you've been caught by God? Look at your neighbor and tell him, "Neighbor, God has caught me from every struggle. God has caught me from every trial." Is there anybody here who know you got a catcher? Look at your neighbor and tell them, "Neighbor, he's a catcher." Yes, God is. And is there anybody here who can give God some praise? Because God is a catcher. Can I get churchy for a second? The song says, "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, and sinking to rise no more. But then the catcher of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters God lifted me. Now safe am I. I can fly because I know I got a catcher. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, it's time to let go and start flying and start soaring. Because you know on the other end of this, when it's all said and done, you got a catcher who won't let you go. Come on, everybody, stand on your feet if you're able. Let me tell you something. Oh, glory. Tell you something. Some folk may not understand your praise because they don't know how many times you've been caught. They don't understand your shout because they don't know how many times you've been caught. Every time you turn around, God keeps on catching you. Every time you turn around, He keeps on catching. Oh, bless God's name. Listen, hey, I know. Here's a deep part in life. Because faith, Akira, is not flying and seeing the catcher. It's flying and knowing you'll be caught. I ain't got to see God to know that God has me. Because I've been caught too many times already. Is there anybody here who could testify? He caught me one time, two times, three times. He keeps on catching me. That's the good news today. And God keeps on catching us. Listen, beloved. Oh, yes. I want us to worship. Because you know that God has given you the victory. It's that song, hallelujah. You've won the victory. You know that? I can live life victoriously because I know God is on the end of this journey saying, I got you. I got you. You. Don't be afraid to fly. I'm gonna say it again. Don't be afraid to fly. God's got you. That's right, Joyce. He got you. You just gotta be willing to fly. Do what you've never done. Be who you've never been. Go where you've never gone. Take a chance. Let go of your safety bars. And give God a chance to catch you. But here's the thing. The catcher has no work to do unless fire is let go. And before we pray, I just want us to just worship for a second, because I need you to think about all the times you didn't know how you would survive, but God caught you. When you didn't think you could come through, but God caught you. Why? Because God has strong hands. And I want you to just lean in and just worship. Just worship for a moment. I know it's Resurrection Sunday, and I want to just worship. Before you leave, we got to just worship a little bit today. And while we're worshiping, if you feel led to come here and to just talk to God, pray on these steps, you feel free. But I want you now to reflect about the times you've been caught. Come on, Dante. Come on, beloved. Let's sing together. Lift those voices. God, we thank you today. God, we thank you today. God, sometimes leaning into our gifts is scary. God, the truth is sometimes that maximizing our potential can be intimidating. Because sometimes, oh God, we're afraid of failing. We're afraid of falling. We're afraid of not being able to achieve, connected to expectation. But God, here's the good news. You're the catcher. And what we already know and have testimony of is that you will be there to catch us. But sometimes, oh God, we have to realize that we ought to let go and fly. Be who you've called us to be and do what you've called us to do and do the things connected to the gifts and talents and capacities you've given us, oh God. Because it makes no sense to be so gifted and then so fearful. To be so gifted and then so hesitant. Remind us, oh God, that we're fearless. Remind us, oh God, that we're resilient. That we can take that leap and trust that you'll be right there every step of the way. God, thank you for covering us. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for protecting us. God, thank you. Thank you. The truth is, oh God, we can stand in this moment confidently because we've already been a witness to what you've done, not only in our lives, but in other people's lives. God, in those moments where fear seems to be prevailing, ignite our memories, oh God, so that we can remember all you've already done. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. And we will leave this place today ready to spread our wings. And the truth is, oh God, yes, many of us will walk out of here today. But why be satisfied with walking when you can fly? So we will soar, oh God. We will soar, oh God. We will soar, oh God. Trusting and believing that you will be there to catch us. We love you, Lord. We honor you, God. And it's in your name we pray. We say amen. 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 Come on, tell somebody that you love them today. Come on, Dante.